Good morning. It's good to be with you. It's good to be with the body of Christ here at Graham Church. If you're visiting our stream, my name's Matt. I'm one of the pastors here at Graham Church. And we find ourselves in the middle of the book of Acts. We've been going through the book of Acts, and we've seen how the Holy Spirit has moved and worked in this first church. So this morning, we are in Acts 8. 26 through 40. I'd encourage you to grab a copy of the scriptures and join with me as we talk about the inclusive gospel. Now, as we've worked through these early chapters, we've seen how the message of Jesus Christ is an incredibly exclusive message. We heard in Acts 4 how there's salvation in no other name except for Jesus. Now, if the testimonies of Scripture are true, and we believe they are, then the perfect, obedient life of Jesus, his sacrificial death for sinners on the cross, and his physical resurrection 3 days later, well, it's the only good and exclusive news that we can truly cling to. But as we heard last week, as we begin to go through chapter 8, we see that while the message is incredibly exclusive, the recipients of this message is incredibly inclusive. The history of the early church in these chapters, we see that the gospel, it's available and life-changing, not simply for a certain sect of people, but for all people, for all nations. And you may not realize it, but this inclusive gospel has incredible implications on your life today. And that's what we're going to be considering as we look through this text. Read with me starting in 8:26 of Acts. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and he asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This morning, I'd like to encourage us with three ways in which God uses the inclusive gospel in the lives of his people, in your life. The first way is God uses the inclusive gospel in your life, in my life, as he intersects us, our path, our life with other people. Now, throughout the Bible, there's this common thread that strings every event all the way from Genesis to Revelation. And it's this: there are no accidents. There's no interruptions. There's only divinely appointed events which reveal people to them their hearts and their need for a Savior. And it's no different here in Acts 8. Now here's what we can see. God orchestrates events to put his people into the lives of others. Now, I've always wondered this. I wonder if the early church would have been as motivated and passionate and persistent and faithful to be on mission to share the gospel with the nations if they hadn't first been kicked out of Jerusalem. And we don't know that for sure, but I think there's some good argument to say that might be the case. In Acts 8, we see that Philip is one of these guys who's been kicked out. He's been scattered. He testifies to Jesus' gospel, the power of the gospel in Samaria. By God's grace, his life is intersected with these Samaritans. He effectively communicates, he proclaims who Jesus is, what he's done, and we see in Acts 8:8, there was much joy in that city. In our text this morning, we see that the Lord, he moves Philip. In verse 26, he's told to go to the south, a desert place. In God's wisdom and providence, he takes Philip out of an effective ministry setting. Okay? He's seen men and women trust in Christ. They're being baptized, it says in verse 12. And the Lord takes him out and sends him to the desert. I think our Western church growth and ministry gurus would balk at the idea of this. They would say, why leave the many? Why leave the effectiveness of what's happening to go for the one? Surely there were thousands around this city who still needed Christ, who could have heard the gospel. And we see quickly that God's ministry plans and his strategy might at times fly in the face of what our expectations are, of what we think is most effective. And God does this in the lives of his people today. He will move believers and sometimes place them in a place to reach just the one person. So have you considered that God has perhaps placed you in your family dynamic, to reach that one family member who currently rejects Christ? Could it be that God has also given you the job that you're at? Do you think you're there by accident? Could it be that God has you there to witness to one coworker? Well, what about where you live? Is it an accident? You know, some of you live in Shiawassee County here in the country. Is it some cosmic accident that you find yourselves in the middle of a field and you only see one neighbor next to you? No, I think there's good evidence that we can say God has rightly placed us where he has for a reason. Now, we should rightly have the heart and the desire that our Heavenly Father does. God desires that everyone know and love him through Christ and his gospel. But as we see with Philip in our text here, and here in our lives as well, God places people where he sees fit, even in desolate places, just to reach the one. And I imagine there are seasons of your life where you're wondering, why am I in this desert place? I thought I had an effect in a group of people I was with, or I thought geographically I should be here. And we might wonder why we're in the desert place that God has us. Our family situation, our job, our neighborhood, our school, our friends or lack thereof, they can feel like a desolate desert wasteland. And we ask, why am I here? Consider there may be many, or there may just be one, that the Lord has ordained for you to intersect with your path in your life to share the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we see here in verses 39 and 40 that the Spirit of God moves Philip. He has this interaction. He's sharing the gospel in this desolate desert place with the one. And God moves him. So we see that Philip's season in this place was short-lived. He would go on to intersect his life and his witness with many. He would go up the coast along the Mediterranean Sea, sharing the gospel in many towns until he reached Caesarea, heading north. But that's not always the case with us, is it? Sometimes the Lord keeps us and places us for an extended period of time in one place to reach the many or to reach the one person that God wants you to intersect with. The gospel certainly is inclusive. It's inclusive as it's shared with a plethora of different kinds and types of temperaments and personalities and people and certainly people groups in Philip's life and in yours. God will direct our paths with people who desperately need the gospel of Jesus Christ. So as God uses the inclusive gospel in our lives, let me give you three encouragements. Three encouragements as God intersects you with other people. The first encouragement is this. Circumstances are a prime opportunity. Now we find ourselves in the middle of a circumstance right now, don't we? Certainly 2020 is the year of COVID and all its implications, good and bad, frustrations and joys, all mixed into the midst of it. Circumstances are a prime opportunity, just as the circumstances of Philip being kicked out of Jerusalem was the kickstart of what propelled a ministry out. Circumstances oftentimes are a prime opportunity in our lives to get a kickstart, to push us out of our comfort zone, to perhaps reach people that we wouldn't normally intersect with. And third, it also teaches us humility. Circumstances are great because, yes, we share the gospel with others, but God uses circumstances as a prime opportunity, not only for the gospel to go out, but for the Lord to shape us. Was Philip always eager and excited where he was placed? We don't know. Text doesn't tell us. But you can imagine some of the toil of persecution, fleeing your home, having an effective ministry of evangelizing in one area in Samaria. God leading you then to a desolate place to reach the one person, an African slave, and then again to be moved to share Christ in these towns heading up the coast. What happens is God leads his people. And he did that with Philip. And no doubt it took some kind of toll on him. He was, in fact, human. He likely had preferences, dreams, aspirations, ministry philosophies, comforts that he missed from home. But Philip learned, and so do we. We learn that our life ultimately isn't about us. We're not here for ourselves. We've been put on this earth to lift high the name of Jesus Christ as he intersects our life with others, with the one and with the many, to bring much glory to his name. So God intersects our life, the life of his people. And there are, as an encouragement, there are prime opportunity for the gospel and for you to grow. Second encouragement I would give you is the Spirit of God will lead you. We see that in verse 26. The angel of the Lord told Philip, "Rise, go to the south." We see that in verse 39 and 40. Philip is carried away by the Spirit. The Spirit of God will lead his people. Now, you know what is the backdrop of our narrative passage, this moment of history in the first church? Again and again and again through the book of Acts, we see things like the first church were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to prayer. They were devoted to communing with one another and with God. It's no accident that Philip is sensitive to the Spirit's leading. It's no accident that as God speaks to him and moves him, he is ready and aware and he's willing. The Spirit of God will lead you. because he leads his people. So I would ask you as an encouragement, are you listening? Are you asking? Are you asking how the Lord would lead you to intersect with other people in your life? Third encouragement I would give you as God intersects your life with others is trust that God will work. Now, what's amazing is we see in the beginning of Acts 8 here, Philip, he leaves Jerusalem, he goes to Samaria, God works, people are saved. Philip then is carried and moved and told to go to the south. He goes to the south, God is at work there. He's carried then by the Spirit in verses 39 and 40, and he's communicating the gospel in all these towns. God is at work there. My encouragement to you as God intersects your life with others is trust that God has you there for a reason, that he will lead you, and that he will work in the midst of it. Are you home with some kids right now? Has God intersected your life with these children that have your DNA and your last name and you see all your flaws in them? Trust that God will work. Does God have you in a particular place of employment? Maybe rubbing shoulders with one person who's just radically different in temperament than you are? Trust that God will work to give you an opportunity to share the gospel with your neighbors, with our community, with everywhere the Lord leads us. So we see that God uses the inclusive nature of the gospel to intersect our lives with the lives of other people. But second, we see that God uses this inclusive gospel as he fulfills redemptive purposes. Do you want to hear something pretty amazing? The life that God has given you, yes, your life, the life that you think isn't extraordinary, the simple life that you have, that life that God has given, it's ultimately connected to a large promise and one grand redemptive plan that unites all history, a plan to bless the entire world. Your life's connected to that. Talk about inclusive, right? God promised Eve that her offspring would crush the head of the serpent and restore things, bring about a new Eden, a new heavens and earth. He would later tell Abraham in Genesis 12 that his seed, his offspring, well, they would be connected to this promise and they would bless all the families of the earth. As we come to the new covenant in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the New Testament, we find that Jesus, well, he's the promised offspring of Genesis 3. He is the one where all the promises of God find their yes and amen. He will bring in the new garden, the new Eden. He will be the one to bless all the earth as the seed of Abraham in the true Israel. So as we come to the book of Acts, we see in Acts 1:8 that one of the key reasons believers are given the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Spirit. God, why do you live in us? The Spirit of God isn't some force or power. The Spirit of God is a person that lives inside of us. Why? Well, we see that one of the reasons are that the children of Abraham are given the Spirit to be bold witnesses. And Philip's life in Acts 8 was connected to that. He was connected to these redemptive promises of old. Philip had placed his faith in Jesus. He had been given a new heart, and the Spirit of God, the person of the Spirit, lived inside of him. You know, last week we talked about how in the book of Acts, it kind of hinges on Acts 1:8. As far as the outline of the book, the witnesses of the gospel were to go out into Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, ultimately, inclusively. And as we've gone through Acts, we see that the gospel has been shared in Jerusalem. And we see the gospel being shared in Samaria as Philip goes and proclaims the gospel. And now we're beginning to see the seeds of the gospel being prepared as it's shared with this African eunuch, the slave. The seeds of the gospel are being prepared to be spread to the ends of the earth. God was using Philip to fulfill redemptive promises for the whole world. So Philip's witness to this African eunuch and his sharing of the gospel, even in verses 39 and 40 in Azotus and these other towns as he travels north, it's part of an inclusive, redemptive promise that God had made. So through Philip, through his witness, through his proclamation of who Jesus is and what he's done, Philip was part of this restoration. Verses 38 and 39, we see that this eunuch sees water and he wants to be baptized. He's not interested in going for a swim. He's placed his faith in Jesus Christ. This eunuch, this Ethiopian, is set now for the new Eden. The new heaven and earth that was promised of old. The eunuch is now one of the stars that was fulfilled to be the offspring of Abraham, the blessing that was coming to the entire world. So here's the question. How does God use the inclusive gospel of Christ to fulfill redemptive promises in my life, in your life? We talked about kind of these concentric circles of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. And there'll be some that say, we need to take a model like that. We need to share the gospel in Perry and Shiawassee County and maybe even Ohio and to the ends of the earth. And that's a fine pattern to follow. But biblically speaking, unless you're watching this message online right now from a strip of land in the Middle East, you are in that last category. You are at the ends of the earth. If you have been reached with the gospel, you're parts of the end of the earth. You're not in Jerusalem. You're not in Judea. You're not in Samaria. You are in the ends of the earth. So taking the gospel where you are currently right now, it is the ends of the earth, and it means sharing the gospel with your neighbor and your coworker and your children and your spouse and your barber and anyone, your friends, your teachers, even your enemies, right? There's two things I want you to consider. The first thing I want you to consider is there are needy people at the ends of the earth here in Michigan and in the United States. Biblically speaking, the ends of the earth is right where you are. And there are needy people around you. People who need forgiveness and restoration. Who don't know the joy and the peace of a relationship with God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider the ends of the earth in Michigan and here in the States. The second thing I want you to consider is there are needy people at the ends of the earth overseas. So often our lives can be so navel-gazing where we're just narrowly looking at the small strip of life that God has given us, where he's placed us in our community, in our county, and in our state. God help us to have a bigger vision of the ends of the earth, that we would be mission-minded, that our time and our energy would be focused on the ends of the earth here and over there. Three ways I want to encourage us to leverage our life. So the inclusive gospel is used in you and I to fulfill redemptive promises. Now, there's three ways we can leverage our lives and this gospel to meet the people around us. The first thing I would encourage us is to leverage our current circumstances. Now, it's hard to go through all the examples of what that could potentially mean, but let me just give you an idea. God needs and uses and chooses to use the people that he saves to spread the gospel. One of the ways that you and I can leverage our current circumstances is to be generous with our time, with our resources, and with our current events in our life. Has God given you children? Leverage your time, your playtime at the park for gospel opportunity. Are you a single person right now in school perhaps and working a job? Leverage the flexibility that God has given you to spend time sharing the gospel of Christ? Are you someone who's older, maybe retired? Leverage your independence and your accessibility for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where God has you in your current circumstance, he wants you there. So leverage what you have. And I'm confident that God will use you to share the inclusive gospel as you intersect with others. The second thing I would encourage you in is not just to leverage your current circumstances, but to leverage your future dreams. Now, what do I mean by that? I'm encouraged by the example of Philip here because I think he held loosely his future dreams. It seems that no doubt he was a man who had aspirations. He likely wanted to stay in Jerusalem. But he held his life loosely and he leveraged any goals, any dreams that he had because he was willing to follow where the Lord would lead. So leveraging your future dreams ultimately means just to hold them loosely. To say, Lord, I have an aspiration for a career or a family or singleness, or this is what I want my retirement to look like. Be willing to use those in the way that maybe you wouldn't first have thought. Ask the Lord to leverage your future dreams, to hold them loosely. And I think what you'll see, as we see in Philip's life, is he'll give you great joy in the midst of your current circumstances and even your future dreams. I don't think anyone's ever been disappointed in following where the Lord has led them. The third encouragement I would give you here is this idea of meta-narrative, this idea of big picture thinking. I want you to constantly fight to look at your life in light of Acts 8 that says, my day-to-day, my family, my job, even geographically where I am right now, it's not an accident, but rather I have this big picture that God is using it to share the inclusive gospel with the world. So we see that the inclusive gospel, it's used through us, first, as it intersects our lives with others and we share the gospel. Second, to fulfill redemptive promises that were made of old. And third, we see that this inclusive gospel is used as God enables us to be faithful. Now, this was mentioned briefly earlier, but it's worth asking again. Would this early church would they have been on such mission with urgency and passion and faithfulness apart from being kicked out of their home? The kickstart to the mission of this first church was God-ordained circumstance of having to go and to leave. And this includes Philip. So God ordained the events of his life to get him out and going. Okay. But the backdrop, again, of this narrative is really the whole book of Acts. Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Whose power? The Holy Spirit's power will come upon you, and you'll be witnesses. You won't be witnesses in and of your own strength and ability and gifting, no. No, as Jesus told the disciples initially, stay in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. God has always ordained the mission of the church for the faithfulness of his disciples to always be derived and enabled through the power of the Holy Spirit. So this early church, devoted to God's word, to prayer, these means God used to enable his people. God directs and enables faithfulness. He does. And we see that here in Philip's life. When the call was made for him to go in verse 26 and 27, verse 27 just simply says, and he arose and he went. God enabled him to respond and go. When the Spirit prompted him to approach the eunuch in verse 29, we read here, and the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. Verse 30, so Philip ran to him. not of his own accord. Philip was a spirit-enabled man. When the opportunity to share Christ comes, he opens his mouth. He opens his mouth in verse 35, and he shares Christ. He opens his mouth not as a man of great ability and gifting in his own strength, but he opens his mouth as a man enabled by the Spirit of God. And also, we see in verse 39 and 40 again, when the Spirit moved him to another location, Philip obeyed and he continued to share the gospel as he goes through all these towns. He didn't think his work was done. What propelled Philip to faithful ministry after he's seen people saved in Samaria? He sees, amazingly, this African eunuch is saved in a desert place. Philip is enabled and compelled and moved by the Spirit of God to continue the work of sharing Christ, because that's what he was put here on this earth for. So we are commanded by the Lord Jesus to obey the Great Commission in Matthew 28 to make disciples, and we are called to fulfill the divine call of Acts 1:8 to be powerful witnesses to the ends of the earth. We should be diligent. We should be purposeful and intentional with the life that God has given us, and we should leverage it any way we can for his glory to the best of our ability. The life that God has given you, the relationships and the circumstances, the schooling, the employment, the retirement, all of it, the Lord has you there to obey and to be faithful to these commands. But, my friends, in those passages, Matthew 28 and Acts 1, Jesus, he promises to be with us to the end of the age. The Spirit of God is there to empower us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the Spirit of God, the person of God, lives inside of us to empower us to be faithful witnesses. And there is not only power in the gospel as it lives in and through us, but there's grace. It's easy to hear sermons like this. It's easy to read accounts like Philip's in Acts 8 and feel deeply convicted over our lack of mission, our lack of urgency and witness to the needy world around us. If God is convicting you right now, well, it's right. It's right for us to repent. It's right for us to turn away from that and ask God to help us to be obedient, to ask God for his enabling power to be a true and authentic disciple in this way. But do not forget who you are in the gospel, in the Lord Jesus, because in Christ, God is pleased with you, even with your imperfect mission and witness. Because of Christ, there's not only forgiveness, but there's great joy in you right now. In his love, he will, by his word and spirit, convict and correct any erring that we have in our life, including mission. In his love, he does see your ultimate heart's desire. He sees it in there. He sees your desire to love the Lord, to lift high the name of Jesus, even though you fail to do it at times. In his great love for you, he will continue to change you into the image of his son Jesus. And he will not only provide opportunity to be a faithful witness to your family and friends and to the ends of the earth, he will provide the power to do so for your joy and for his great glory. I want to commend a book to you. It's called Every Moment Holy. It's a book of liturgies and prayers, and there's liturgy and prayer on doing the dishes, taking the trash out, looking at the stars, working on a car. There's a prayer for everything. And there's a liturgy here for serving others and sharing the gospel, God enabling us to share the gospel. Listen to this good word. O Christ, who made himself the servant of all, I would set my heart and my affections upon you, and upon you alone. For I can only serve others rightly when such service is undertaken from first to last as an act of devotion offered to you. So let my love be sincere, and let my service be fearless, O Lord. I would serve in imitation of you, who poured out your life for me. I would serve knowing that your Spirit is ever at work in the lives of those I serve. Ever calling, ever drawing, ever seeking to soften hearts encased in fear and disappointment and anger and idolatry. So let my kindness and sacrifice fall like warm shafts of sunlight on icy ground. I cannot know the end of another person's story. Our lives so often only briefly intersect. So let me be content to minister, regardless of visible outcomes, trusting that the small mercies I extend will be woven into the larger theme of redemption, at work in the lives of others, as you woo them to yourself, drawing their hearts by graces offered, and shaping my own heart too in this process of learning to serve well. And by learning to serve well, learning to love well. Amen. This inclusive gospel of Jesus Christ, it is for all peoples to the ends of the earth. And God uses the inclusive gospel in our lives, in the lives of his people, as he intersects them through life, just as Philip, as he fulfills redemptive promises of old to bless the entire world, and as God enables you and I to be faithful by the power of the Holy Spirit. Will you pray? Will you pray now and ask God to use your life, this inclusive gospel in and through you, to reach someone, to share the gospel, even this week? Pray with me. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we are grateful for your kindness to us, Lord. We know that we are at the ends of the earth. Your gospel has gone out, and you have saved us. You have reached us at the ends of the earth, and we are grateful for your work in us. Lord, I pray you would compel us. Compel us to be a faithful witness by your Spirit. Enable us to share the inclusive message of Jesus Christ with those that you intersect along our paths of life. Lord, we are not in our families and communities. We're not in this local church and body by accident, but God, you guide our steps. God, would you help us to leverage our life? Would you help us to use our current resources and circumstances and even hold loosely our future dreams to see many love and trust Jesus? Lord, we pray that your name would be honored and glorified. We pray that even this week, many would trust in Christ. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.